was on travel when I got noticed about the workshop, and without thinking, I suggested the title. And I returned only 2 days ago. I'm jet lagged, and I had no time to prepare. So it's very irresponsible from me to talk about this. So it will be it's a side project, not what I'm doing for a living. Yet I will talk about cosmological solutions and some property of cosmological solutions, which related to different causally connected regions, which may in the past be causally connected, but as time goes, they became more and more independent, and something like multiverse is originating. So anyway, what I was doing a while ago, it's a construction of the inflationary models in the context of the string theory. And a lot of inflationary models will give us no gravitational wave signal. It doesn't mean that inflation is not right. It just means the parameter size that we don't observe them. And this is an example of one of the relations of inflation. It's a potential. It's relatively simple. And all of those different curves corresponds to ensemble of inflationary solutions. And what we're learning from those models is that in string slash supergravity slash supersymmetry, the inflation is typically multiple fields inflation. Therefore, the potential for inflaton potential is a hybrid surface in the space of many fields. And we deal with ensemble of trajectories, and we're not reconstructing a model, we're reconstructing inflation trajectories from the data. And the amplitude of gravity waves can be pretty small. And this is not good, because there is a lot of efforts now to test early universe physics, inflation in particular, measuring in details primordial power spectrum, departure from scale free, running and more than running, and a lot of efforts to measure gravity wave signal. We're talking about contribution to CMB signal from gravitational waves, astronomical scale gravitational waves, also generated from inflation. They lead to CMB polarization. Polarization can be measured by special bolometers, and the current limits giving a constraint on the amplitude of gravity waves relatively to that of the scalar modes, and different numbers are here. This is time, and the different satellites will be launched, noticeably Planck soon, and we expect to reach the level 0.1, and if you don't see anything there, it doesn't mean that inflation is wrong. It just, as I said before, it means the scale of inflation is lower, and it goes lower and lower and lower. We may hope to measure at the level to the minus 6 with very different mean, with gravity wave astronomy, the LISA. Very different idea. CMB pole, 10 years from now, may reach level to the minus 2. So anyway, what to do in this situation? In other words, we may expect a nil signal, zero measurement. And a lot of efforts, yet only one scientific result, that scale of inflation lower than something. And in this situation, this is just another illustration, what we're measuring, spider, it's tensor without tensor, tensor without tensor, it's a polarization. You see difference? So, and in this situation, it's healthy to broaden the models which incorporate inflation to see what else we can say about inflation, measuring absence of gravity waves or something else. And in context of string theory inflation, the duration of inflation not necessarily very long. It easily may be a marginal, so it's not 62 fold, it may be 65, 66, or whatever. It's another parameter, number of e folds before it comes to the scale corresponding to our horizon. And the idea is to consider typical anisotropic solution, which was azotropized by inflation, and to see if there are residuals of this pre-inflationary stage in observations. Okay, that was the original idea. So why not? And reason is, again, expensive experiment. We want to say more in case of nil result than the scale of inflation lower. For instance, it will be good to say that, aha, we don't observe gravity waves. It means that the duration of inflation is not 62, but 68, right? Something else. And it's an interesting toy model, which people were playing with in middle 80s.
True or not true that just standard vanilla single field
sterile
inflation gives an expectation value, an expectation for where the
tensor. So let me reformulate your question. There are different, there is no standard vanilla. It was a pedagogical best choice model. And my definition is a single parameter model.
Good.
Okay. And there are several single parameter models. Lambda phi to the 4 is single parameter model. M square phi square is single parameter model. Starobinsky model, R square over M, is a single parameter model. A different single parameter models gives you different values of gravity waves. Starobinsky model, for instance, give you R at the level 0.0.4, happily compatible observations. M square phi square gives you 0.1, okay? And if we don't observe gravity waves at level 0.1, it says that we have to move towards either single parameter model or two parameter model. That's it. And from particle point of view, the aficionados of supergravity, they're definitely dealing with the multiple parameter models. So anyway, what I'm talking about, I'm not selling anything. This will be pure game, what I was talking about. So so in middle 80s, people considered anisotropic initial state, introduced what is going into inflation, namely scalar field with the potential, and demonstrated that the effective cosmological constant will isotropize the solution. This is good. And one of the examples is Bianchi 1 ABC anisotropic model. Let me take simple potential, which typical error. I was flashing the potential from one of the string theory models. This is the potential from the string theory model, simple form over there. And we plug it in the Einstein equations and get the solution, analytical solution for A, B, and C. They're given those functions. At early stages, they are described by power law dynamics. Two of them are expanding, one is contracting, and one can recognize immediately paradigmatic Kasner solution. As time goes, this solution will turn into isotropic solution, which is the inflationary solution. Very good. But there was an anisotropic stage before that. And it's very reasonable to assume that before inflation, things can be anisotropic. Now, what people did not consider it when anisotropic solutions were studied in great details in late 60s and 70s, especially after Belinsky, Lipschitz, Halatnikov there, and Charles Misner here, and others found the generic way of approaching singularity, not expansion, but contraction. Generic contraction solution is described by Kasner solution, and more generically by change of the Kasner epoch. I will go to this later. But what people did not consider it in details, at least, is cosmological fluctuations around anisotropic geometries. If what I'm saying is not correct, I'm here to absorb knowledge, okay? So anyway, people studied cosmological fluctuations in Friedman-Robertson-Walker cosmology. when inflation came up, it coincides with Bardeen's discovery of gauge invariant formulations. They did very sophisticated job to construct a series of cosmological fluctuations of all types in an expanding universe with a scalar field. Very good. And recently, a couple of years ago, people extended this formalism to the class of anisotropic metrics, exactly in the context I was talking about, assuming that there was an anisotropic pre-inflation. Very good. So the heavy job was done by several groups, and George Ellis contributed, the Masters did it. So they did all job. I didn't do this, just used it. And there are three modes. If we have the system, gravity and scalar field, I'm talking about expanding case. There are three modes. One mode is scalar of fluctuations, and two modes of polarization of gravity waves in this background. And you can see it's pretty messy. And for transparency here, I will continue to talk about cases when B and C equal to each other, so-called axisymmetric case, just for simplicity, right? It's simpler to follow. And one can construct gauge invariant variables like V, H plus, and H cross, and you see it's a mess. And the mess is, you can feel why it's a mess, because for gravity waves, for instance, if you're dealing with anisotropic expansion, you turbine are rotating there. And if you're picking up a given direction and building up polarization tensor, it will be rotating with incarnate turbine. So it's just not easy to do technically. It's a mess. And nevertheless, can be done. Equations can be written. And the action can be written in canonical form, which is very good. So this is the action for perturbations. The perturbations for H cross, H plus, and V can be written down. For axisymmetric case, H cross gravity wave mode is a single oscillator-like equation. It's a single equation, but look how messy is expression for the effective frequency, right? The K1, P here is the physical momentum divided through the moving momentum divided by corresponding scalar factors. It's a mess, right? This is why it takes so long time to develop, and after you develop it, not clear why, okay? So equations for V and H plus are mixed, and there is expression for this mixing. We can do it, and so solve. And the initially Kazer expansion over B and A, B and C expand, A is contracting, but when isotropization takes place, they both are expanding exponentially, inflation takes place. And bottom line is you take those equations, put it in the background, solved, and see if you have something interesting in the sky.
Gravitational waves?
I did it in terms of cross and plus, and amplitudes are different.
So the probably yes.
So, and I didn't think about in terms of parity, but it's anisotropic metric. Now, so anyway, bottom line is you solve these equations, what we found that if you initially assume they have initial amplitude, the same amplitude, scalar, tensor, in other tensor modes, when it progresses and the isotropic stage appears, they will have different amplitudes. And one of the modes is growing very quickly. And what you see, you have a residual classical gravity waves in the sky. Okay? And just different things. This is what C sub L looks like for them. Don't pay attention to it. I don't need this. The bottom line is, yes, there is interesting thing. There may be residual contribution to gravity waves because one of the modes is amplified, okay? And when we're dealing with metric fluctuations, how you say is growing relatively to what? And the simplest way is to use invariants. And the Weyl tensor is a good invariant. And one can calculate Weyl tensor for the background and Weyl tensor for the perturbations, and compare them, So total wild tensor is C square for background and then for perturbation in different forms. And initially it goes like 1/2 to the 4. Later on, it will be going exponentially. But before isotropization occurs, we found that H plus mod in expanding universe is increasing with time. There is instability in increasing stage. And the paper was about, hey, we can see observational effect. If we don't see it, it means that this anisotropic stage is supposed to be further diluted. We have to add extra efforts of inflation to dilute it. Okay. But what was most interesting, when we turn off scalar field, forget about scalar field, take a pure gravity with no scalar field, consider expanding Kasner, consider contracting Kasner, consider gravity wave in those backgrounds, we found instability of gravitational waves in both expanding and contracting Kasner universe. Wow. So it's very interesting. So this is not, that was not noticed before. And what to do with this? This is an example what happens in contracting Kasner universe. This is time. Time, it's a conformal time running from whatever to zero. And this is initial mod, different initial wavelengths. And this is diagnostics of this instability. C square goes like 1/2 to the 4 towards singularity. Delta C square goes faster. So it's increasing. And this is another mod, it's an IH plus mod. It's increasing. All of those mods are increasing. Moreover, what is interesting, the average Hubble radius in contracting Kasner is decreasing. But the physical wavelengths of gravity modes, they may be increasing or decreasing, but they're decreasing slower than the average Hubble radius. Therefore, sooner or later, they're going outside of the horizon, okay? And this is when this increase starts to pick up. Okay, Kasner instability, Kasner is unstable against gravity waves. What is this? How it, I thought it's wrong, it's all wrong. And we have to go back and look at the literature, it's wrong or not. And let me go back and remind you, sorry for reminding what you know very well, the BKL story, Belinsky-Lipschitz-Khalatnikov story about anisotropic collapse. Consider geometry with synchronous gauge, it's a three-dimensional metric. We're considering, it's a very simple system, only gravity, no scalar field. That was pre-discussion. Forget about how I came to this, just no scalar field. And equation for Einstein equations in vacuum will give us two equations. This is constraint equation 0, 0. And this interesting equation, this equation contains only metric coefficients depending on time. And this is a special three-dimensional curvature. And we are choosing A, B, and C. Suppose we're dealing with homogeneous, one of the Bianchi model, no special dependence, everything depends only on time. And Einstein equations in terms of A, B, and C, anisotropic expansion, or contracting factor, sorry, will be reading like that. And this is a three-dimensional curvature tensor, which depends on exactly what kind of Bianchi model we are considering. You know about the 9 Bianchi model, blah, blah, blah. Bianchi 1 gives 0 everywhere. And different lambda, mu, and nu corresponds to different Bianchi types over here. And what Belinsky, what Khalatnikov and Lipschitz did in the early 60s, you go to other variables, you go to exponents of scalar factors, you go to equivalent of conformal time, and your equation looks like equation, second order equation for alpha, beta, and gamma, which contains different terms depending on what is going on. So example, Bianchi 2 is giving some combination of mu, nu, and lambda. Bottom line is, if we are dealing with contracting Kasner, two of them, B and C, are contracting, but another, the third component is always expanding, right? Overall volume is shrinking. And so here in this expression, B and C will be shrinking, A will be expanding. And sooner or later, A will be dominating here, and this equation will be equation for the particle moving in the exponential potential, right? This is the logic of Halutnikov and Lifshitz and other equations. And the particle, so if initial conditions corresponds to Kasner solution, it corresponds to my motion towards the wall, it will bounce from the wall and move back and again forget about the wall. And this corresponds to so-called BKL mapping, when you have initial P1, P2, and P3 coefficients. After the bounce, when solution is not Kasner, it goes back to Kasner with P1 strich and P2 strich and P3 strich defined by so-called Halutnikov and Lifshitz mapping. Very good. It's all story. Meissner put it in another formulation using Hamiltonian dynamics and come up with Hamiltonian formulation for other variables. But it's very nice because it gives more mechanical analogy. This is the effective potential in terms of Meissner variables, two Meissner variables. And the dynamics of the universe is described by the billiard ball there. And here is the Kasner epoch, Kasner epoch, Kasner epoch. This is the bounds. Not Kasner epoch. This is the place where special curvature is working and changing it. Okay, very good. Now, what it all has to do with what I was talking about, gravitational waves, instability of Kasner universe. If you look at the Halutnikov and Lifshitz paper 63, they said Kasner is nice. It's a good solution, except one bad mod. They identify a mod which destroys Kasner solution. And this mod is this combination, L, blah, blah, blah. So to make Kasner solution generic, you have to put this to zero. But it's something artificial. So one doesn't want to have it equal to zero. It's a vector, right? L is... there are three eigenvectors in the metric, L, M, and N, and A, L corresponds to expanding mode. What turns out, what we found is that if we consider our unstable gravity modes in Kasner contracting case, when it became long wavelength mode, ceased to oscillate, became frozen, it exactly corresponds to bad mode of Halutnikov and Lifshitz. So in other words, the origin of their bad mod is nothing but gravitational wave, which evolved. So in other words, our story is right. There is unstable mode, which destroyed it. Now the question is, what it does with the background solution? And that question, again, go back to history, they worry about this mod. And they later on realized that this mod gives contribution to the three-dimensional curvature tensor. And if you follow exactly what it does, it will contribute in this form. It will be, again, the equation which we had before. This is now Bianchi 1 mod, right? With no external curvature associated with the topology. Right? But only this unstable mod is added. And this unstable mod, they claim, gives this contribution, which again acts very similarly how it acts for the Bianchi 9 and Bianchi 2 and et cetera, et cetera. In other words, they said, let's be this unstable mode. That's fine. Let's be this unstable mode in the system. It doesn't change anything. It just also will lead to the billiard. Okay? Good. So in other words, the new element we're adding, Kasner is unstable against gravity waves. These gravity waves are stretched, sent outside, contribute to the, will generate three-dimensional curvature, and will lead to the billiard. It's all good. However, maybe, I'm thinking about it. I wasn't able to. I can talk about orientation, etc. I'm not ready to. That's what you're asking. Can, for this unstable mode, I make effective potential?
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. Nevertheless, this new interpretation gives a possibility for more physics. Let us now consider, it's almost classical discussion so far, but in our picture, the gravitational waves are also quantum fields, and gravitational waves have zero vacuum fluctuations. And if we have instability of gravitational waves, it means that gravitational quantum zero vacuum fluctuations are unstable. So what used to be quantum fluctuations because of instability became classical modes. I don't need to add anything by hand. They automatically are generated. And this is a result of solution of our equation. I take upper surface for contracting Kastner. I quantized H plus and H cross modes. And I see that they are oscillating, and they're going outside of the horizon, freeze, amplitude is growing, and they became classical. Very similar to what we had from inflation, when we put tensor modes in de Sitter background. Okay? It's a very, very similar thing. The claim is quantum fluctuations of gravitons in contracting Kastner are unstable. They inevitably contribute to generate three-dimensional curvature, and it will change Kastner. Now,
when you say they become classical, do you mean just that they're becoming big, or
absolutely? Now it will be absolutely the same as what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. When quantum fluctuations are generated from inflation, mm-hmm. they are quantum inside the horizon. Yeah, the situation will become semi. They grow exactly here. They're growing too. They're growing in amplitude. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the same sense. And therefore, what I'm proposing here, to change BKL equation to include here those fluctuations which became classical. It's now will be stochastic object, which will depend on those two modes. And this is a new equation. This equation is not foreign for those who are doing inflation. But let me stop talking about Kastner, and let me remind what we have for similar situation in inflationary cosmology.
This is a the Einstein equations plus some back reaction term for the
Yes.
for the H's,
yes.
And it's just the usual TMU nu for these classical.
Not TMU, it will be
spatial curvature or something?
Yes, it will be spatial curvature associated with H plus and H cross. Right. Yeah. And what is important, I will put here only the path which became classical. The quantum is done. So, and this is heuristical equation, very similar to what we're using in inflation as a Stravinsky equation. Let me remind this. Okay, it's the same story, right? But the difference here, it's anisotropy, tensor mode. There in inflation, it's isotropy, scalar mode. But story repeats itself. Mm-hmm. So reminiscent what we have in this a single parametric inflationary model, n squared phi squared, phase portrait. You pick up trajectory, you say this is my solution. For this trajectory, you build up Penrose diagram, k is equal to zero. There is inflation here. It's a student question for student. So let's remind us that the sitter has this diagram. The planar section has that diagram. It's interesting part. It corresponds to all the horizon, including event horizon and apparent horizon. And in fact, very inflation here, singularity initially here, beginning of inflation, end of inflation. And if I look at the apparent horizon picture, this portion is very similar to what I have during inflation. So the only appearance of inflation in this diagram is not global, but these local geometrical characteristics. So this is just for fun to mention. So anyway, what we have during inflation. During inflation, we are considering quantum fluctuations of light scalar fields. And the quantum fluctuations of light scalar fields, we quantize them. Similarly, how we quantize gravitons in the Kastner contracting case. And there is an equation for the mode, which has this type of solution, which oscillates and freeze out. And all of those modes superpose together and form random Gaussian field. As time goes, more and more getting outside of the horizon, and add to this random Gaussian, keep mathematics. So each individual mode is stretched, and they're going outside of the horizon. We like this because if inflation ends, this will be entering horizon during Friedman stage, and this is what gives us EMB fluctuations, and this is what gives us license to speculate about inflation, okay? But I am talking about what is going on during inflation. So during inflation, we have this generation of long wavelength fluctuations. It's a very well-known process, no need to remind it, right? And Stravinsky back in 86 took into account the back reaction of these quantum fluctuations to the evolution of the scalar field itself. The scalar field are based on an equation, and we split the scalar field into the background time-dependent part plus fluctuations. But fluctuations themselves, they also have two parts. The part which became classical, which stretched out and stay outside of the horizon, and I consider them as an integral over all those modes which are bigger than the horizon, right, then introduce step function, plus the short wavelength modes which are oscillating. And if we assume slow roll, this is small, substitute this in here, derivative will hit theta function, give delta function, and what happens will be a noise term here associated with those modes. And the equation for scalar field, the class condensate part, this is the force plus the noise term, which says that each time new mode goes outside of the horizon, it kicks scalar field. And this is Stravinsky equation with the short noise over here. And as a result, it leads to the fractal-like structure of the self-reproduced universe, because my scalar field is not rolling. It stays somewhere it goes. And overall diagram will be the Rolle-like diagram. Anyway, it's all well-known story. And now I'm speculating what is going on in the context of collapsing Kastner, when the gravity waves, vacuum fluctuations of gravity are unstable, send fluctuations outside, and each domain has experience of the path which is already classical, and because superposition of those tensor modes is a random Gaussian field, the values, the impact on the Kastner domains will be different in different places. And I don't know how to visualize this. And what I'm suggesting here is the following thing. I take the form of Bianchi metric in Meissner's parameterization. It explicitly takes out a common contracting factor, scalar factor. And the beta, what Meissner is using as beta plus and beta minus, traceless metrics, right? And I can make this metric conformal and make a conformal diagram for this. In conformal diagram, overall volume is not shrinking. So roughly speaking, if this is my little patch and it goes over here like that. And this will be a billiard for each little patch. And initially I started with a homogeneous universe, but as time goes, tensor modes are going outside, producing walls, and the bouncing occurs. But this history in each domain will be different. And the difference of billiard will be different, will be fragmentation of this. And as this is pure speculation, the fact is instability of gravity waves. Suggestion is to describe them through the stochastic equation, expectation, something like that. And let me finish at this point. Right, this is a stochastic equation, and this is what I wanted to tell you. It's a fun because it looks like multiverse in contracting case. Thank you.
So these modes, I guess, go outside the horizon early enough, and they're not influenced by reheating.
No. I'm talking about, right, so there were two parts in my talk. There was expanding Kasner, which is and this is contracting Kasner. Okay, this is contracting Kasner. Now I'm saying this is new element in BKL story. The new element in BKL story is when you have a contracting Kasner and billiard, quantum fluctuations of tensor modes are unstable, inevitably contribute to the story. And this is very economic setting. I'm not adding any scalar field, nothing, just R, pure gravity alone.
But in the beginning, you started out talking about what would get through from this earlier epoch.
Yeah, I was talking about, yes, in the beginning I was...
So is this connected with this or not?
Well, only the fact that both expanding and contracting Kasner are unstable against gravity waves.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, true. I'm not talking about bouncing, I don't know what it is. Just the two messages, if you wish. Initially, I was talking about anisotropic pre-inflation, for the instability of gravity waves, which may leave interesting print on dopaturity anisotropy. Another part was contracting anisotropic solution has new physics because of instability of zero concentrations.
So I have a question about each of them, but let me just try a question about the first. Why I asked about parity is this an observation we made with Zhao and Carlo that if you can get parity breaking production of the gravitar modes pre-inflation or during inflation, it's observable by interference between T and B.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if that's a mechanism of
We are collaborating with Carlo on polarization details. We didn't study polarization, but formal reading, yes. No answer, but it's on the table. Yes.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, well, let's thank you again.